consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media outlets, a reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online. For our daily social media minute, we're joined by Yerrika in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday.
It's raining outside.
Like, not drizzling. It was pouring down on my
drive
over here.
It's coming down pretty hard still. I think it's supposed to stop by this afternoon.
Until then, gusty winds paired with downpours. So have one of those like sturdy umbrellas, because have you ever had an umbrella flip on you? That's really fun. All right, let's get started. The major annual queer festival has been denied use of Soul Plaza yet again. The conversation feels like a deja vu, very familiar.
Lena says yet again, because the city government disapproved of the event last year as well. The festival is scheduled to take place on June 1st, but the Seoul Metropolitan Government plans to hold one of its own events, an outdoor book event, on that same day. Now, organizers say they're currently looking for an alternative public venue for South Korea's largest LGBTQ celebration. Just like they did last year.
Okay, so for the first time since the festival's inception back in 2015, the festival was not held at the Seoul Plaza last year.
That's right.
So it had the space for many consecutive years.
Yep,
and then last year it was denied.
Many consecutive years, excluding the 2 years we went through the pandemic.
Right.
But so last year, the city government denied the organizers' request to use Seoul Plaza. It instead allowed a youth concert that was organized by Christian Culture Foundation to be held at the plaza. At the time, it cited the event's child and youth-friendly nature.
That they had apparently signed up first. Like, there was something logistically all too easy for the Seoul government to side with. But of course, it raised a slew of concerns and discomfort.
Yep. The festival was hence moved to Uljiro, not too far from Seoul Plaza, but anyway, it did have to move away from what is considered the home of the LGBTQ festival. Uljiro is a major avenue in downtown Seoul. Last year, some 150,000 members of the LGBTQ community and their supporters gathered at the event. The Seoul Queer Culture Festival Organizing Committee, the Seoul Metropolitan Library, and a Christian group all apparently applied back in March. Well, we're still in March. March 15th.
Have you moved on to April?
On March 15th to book Seoul Plaza for their respective events, all scheduled for June 1st. But last week, the city government consulted with all three parties on the possibility of rescheduling the dates. But all three sides failed to reach an agreement.
All right. So then, has Seoul City finalized which event should take place at the plaza on June 1st?
Yes. So for now, it's going to be the Seoul Metropolitan Library's outdoor book reading event. That is held every weekend in May, June, and October at the plaza. June 1st is included in those dates.
Okay. So they kind of, it does look like a pretty safe route out as opposed to last year's conversation.
That's right. You know, the organizing committee has said in a statement that promoting Seoul Plaza as an open space for citizens is looking to be a little bit deceptive, given that the calendar is already saturated with Seoul City-led events. For now, it looks like the venue is indeed booked with city events on most Thursdays, most Fridays, and weekends.
Hang on
in
a second.
Spring and autumn this year.
Isn't that like the majority of when we are out and about in the plaza?
Yeah.
I mean, because weekdays, it's mostly people in suits trying to get to work.
That's right. Anyways, the Seoul City government responded by saying that it's going to host another meeting in early April for additional discussions on the matter.
You know what I think is important? I think transparency and inclusivity is important.
Yep.
Have these conversations in a transparent matter. Let people, you know, have a say.
And that's right.
That's probably a better way to a democratic system to utilize Seoul City's open space.
Yep.
Just a food for thought. All right, let's move on to our second buzzword this morning. Now, this is absolutely concerning. Officials are alerting schools to this growing trend of a hierarchical bullying game.
Yeah, I know, you heard that correctly. So there is a game inspired by a TV drama series that is becoming popular in public schools here in South Korea. The Chunbuk State Office of Education announced just yesterday that a game called Pyramid Game from this TV drama has become popular in schools, some schools. Mm-hmm. According to the Office of Education of Jeollabuk-do Province, last week it had sent out a letter asking for cooperation in preventing the spread of this so-called pyramid game and guiding student behavior to all 778 elementary, middle, high schools and special education schools in the province of Jeollabuk-do.
Okay, so schools have even sent out letters to parents last week to prevent the spread of the so-called pyramid game.
Yeah, so since last week, letters to parents have been distributed in numerous elementary and middle schools around Jeonju, which is aimed at preventing the spread of this, it sounds dangerous, a violent game.
Okay, so let us elaborate on what this is in case you haven't seen the TV drama. We'll talk a little bit about the problematic game that's apparently spreading at select schools. Yep.
So to make it short, in the drama, students vote basically to pick an outcast.
So someone to bully.
Yeah, someone to bully, which leads to acts of school violence. An official from the state education office stated that it had heard through various channels the situations like the pyramid game from the TV show are actually happening in some schools. The letter itself reads, recently the drama Pyramid Game released on TV has led to the spread of group ostracism disguised as a game in schools. The Pyramid Game deals with issues of hierarchy and school violence and establishes a hierarchical order among students, where those in the higher ranks harass those who are below them.
Like a pyramid.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. The letter warns of a high possibility of generating serious school violence where specific targets face actual harassment. And the letter goes on to urge parents to take an active interest and, guide their children so that, a playful culture does not become the seed of crime, basically.
You know, every time a TV drama tries to shed light on something serious, whether it's an exaggeration, whether it's based on some truth. The problem is, I think we like to play the blame game. These TV shows and games are ruining our children. Now we've come so far to have the next part of that conversation, which is that's probably not to blame.
Right.
It's probably an exaggeration of an existing story. In some cases, not even an exaggeration.
Yes, that's right.
So it is important where and how adults intervene. Now, the Pyramid Game, in case you're wondering, is a 10-part series released in late February. The plot is based on a rather popular webtoon of the same title.
Yeah, it's set in a class of high school junior students at a girls' high school where an outcast is chosen through a secret ballot every month. The game divides the students into perpetrators, victims, and bystanders.
Have the difficult conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so heartbreaking to talk about this. All right, let's move on to our final buzzword this morning. I don't know how to feel about this because my entire life, it's been a work in progress, Erica.
Right.
I'm assuming
for all of us.
For all of us, whether you be age 30, 50, or 80.
Yep. Or even 100.
Or even 100. Yep. Barcelona's most famous church, Sagrada Familia, will finally be completed. And get this.
2026.
In two years' time. I get chills.
You know, the first time I visited the Sagrada Familia was when I was in high school, right? That was, in the 90s? And I remember my dad telling me, this is an ongoing process. It's going to take another,
100 years.
Yeah, 100 years, basically. The last time I visited was back in 2019, and the construction was still ongoing. And I remember talking with my friends, like, 30 years later, I'm here. And it's still not over.
Well, could you tell? I mean, granted, the first time you went, you were significantly younger because my, extended family member lives in Barcelona.
That's right.
And they visit pretty frequently. Uh-huh. And they say, with the untrained naked eye, you're not quite sure what has gone up, what hasn't. Because, it's a tall, tall structure. But I can't imagine the Sagrada Familia without those cranes, big, giant cranes around. Yeah, what does that even look like?
Anyways, it's been more than 140 years after construction started, and the construction of the last of the six towers is going to mark the completion of the structure of the entire basilica. So the Chapel of the Assumption is expected to be finished next year, and the Tower of Jesus Christ in 2026. And when completed, Sagrada Familia is going to become the world's tallest church. This is official. It's going to overtake the Ullminster in Germany.
Do you think the Ullminster in Germany is going to try to erect like one more cross
on
top?
Please don't.
Don't do that.
This is not a competition.
In case you're wondering, construction began back in 1882 for La Sagrada Familia, according to a design celebrated by, of course, the Catalan architect Gaudi.
That's right. And the monumental structure, when completed, would have 18 spindle-shaped towers, each of them symbolizing a different biblical figure, the 12 apostles, the four evangelists, and the Virgin Mary and Jesus. Now, when Gaudi died in 1926, close to 100 years ago, only an estimated 10 to 15% of the project had been built, and the construction was so slow at the time. And it was interrupted in the late 30s by the Spanish Civil War, when most of the designs and models of Gaudi were destroyed. Now, current designs are currently based on surviving and reconstructed materials, as well as reimagined adaptations of the original design. Now, in 1984, decades after Gaudi passed away, the building was designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Mind you, still under construction.
Yeah. And now I have a fun fact for you. This I had no idea. I found out today. The construction of the church of the Sagrada Familia was carried out illegally for 137 years.
What?
And it was only in 2019 that a building permit was finally issued by Barcelona's city council and authorities. They discovered this anomaly that they had not issued a building permit in 2016.
Someone dropped the ball.
Right?
But I suppose who's going to go there and tear down something so monumental?
Something so monumental, yeah.
But for 137 years, they were building illegally.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
And it's finally going to be completed in 2 years' time.
I really want to go.
I really want to go too. And of course, I think we're going to go.
Yeah. Thanks, Erica. That was great fun.
See you tomorrow.
I'll see
Keep
you tomorrow.
Dry.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.